Loving parents are predisposed to lavish affirmation on their children. As moms and dads who care deeply, we can't help ourselves. But sometimes we fail to balance our accolades by drawing helpful boundaries and offering tempered rebuffs our children desperately need. In Proverbs chapter 15, we read these words, "He whose ear listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." And in Proverbs 27, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues a message called "Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us."
When I meet someone who has the quality of understanding, I meet someone who has benefited from the reproof of their parents and their friends. Let this sink in. Let it make an impact on you so that you remember it. Parents who are reluctant to bring needed reproof neglect doing their job. And as a result, your children will grow up not really respecting authority. Again, another characteristic of today's times. They will lack understanding. And let's face it, some people are just about beyond reproof. They have made such a habit of it. I want to go to one verse and kind of analyze it in more detail. Look at 27:6. If you're looking for a verse to memorize, I suggest Proverbs 27:6. I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, I memorized the verse. Can't tell you how many times I've called it to mind or shared it with other people. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Look at the verse. Just study it with your eyes. Here's a literal translation from the Hebrew language. Trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves you. Trustworthy are the bruises caused by the wounding of one who loves you. Deceitful is the flattery of the one who hates you. So the wounding happens when the truth is told and it leaves you with a bruise. That bruise is trustworthy. Believe me, you will not forget it. I can even remember the tone of the voice of my mentor who has reproved me. I remember how he said what he said. Bruised. Trustworthy is the bruise that lingers from the wounding of one who loves you. And then the alternative. Let me point out four things about this verse that you may have missed. Here's the first. The one who reproves should be one who loves you. The one who reproves should be one who loves you. You don't reprove a stranger, as I said earlier. You reprove those you love. Because, you see, those you love, you know. If you don't know a person well, silence the reproof. It's an offensive thing for you to reprove them if you don't know them. But if you know them, wise is the reprover. So, it should be one who loves us. Second, the bruise that's left lingers long after the wounding is over. The bruise that follows the blow lingers in the heart, in the mind, in the spirit. Matter of fact, there are certain reproofs you'll receive that you'll remember the rest of your life. And that's a good thing. Number three, friendship includes the freedom to confront. Friendship includes the freedom to confront. When you say, this person is one of my best friends, there ought to be some times in your relationship when there was reproof shared. It's the mark of a true friendship. It isn't an obligation. You don't become a person's friend so you now can unload the truck on them. As a matter of fact, you will find yourself as a friend still reluctant to say anything. Often we wait too long. We wish we had said something earlier. But friendship is the freedom to confront. It grants you the freedom to say what ought to be said. Maybe not often, but somewhere along the way, good friends help hone, shape, and polish the life of one another. Fourth, words of flattery represent deception, not love. Notice they're called the kisses of an enemy. Don't fall for them. We say in Texas that they blow smoke on us. People who blow smoke on you are deceiving you. It's not a compliment. They don't really think much of you. The flattery is a cover-up. See what it says? Verse 6 of chapter 27. Deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. I think we need the right words at the right time. Show you a verse on that. Look at 25:11. Proverbs 25:11. This is beautiful. If you're an artist, you will love the 11th and 12th verses. There's art all the way through these words. You find it? Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. See what goes together? Isn't that marvelous? I mean, how colorful is that? It's a work of art. When your reproof is wise, it's well timed. You sense this is the right moment to say what needs to be said. The carefully chosen word of the reprover, the listening ear of the reproved. It's like apples of gold and settings of silver. May I add a couple or three guidelines before we wind up in Ephesians 6? Number one, it's done in private, never in public. Reproof done in public embarrasses. It offends. Reproof done privately that is appropriate doesn't offend. Number two, it includes words designed to correct, never to condemn. Your goal is to build up the person, not to tear them down. The words you say may be strong, may be pointed, but they're designed to build up the individual. I look back over my childhood, and I would run out of time if I would tell you those occasions when a very wise parent in our family would pull one of the three of us kids aside and confront us on something that needs to be addressed. Interesting, I don't remember my mother or dad ever reproving either my brother or my sister. They did it correctly. They did it in private. You misunderstood. Maybe I said it wrong. They did it in private. I don't know that they remember ever my being reproved because they did it in private. They did it right. You know, son, I've noticed that your grades are failing in this area. You're very bright. You're able to do that. I'm not asking you to do all A's. I'm just saying you could bring this grade up. I think you're lazy. I noticed that you're not doing your homework before you're having fun. So let's say that you start doing your homework first. I can still remember the reproof. At school, I had teachers who cared enough about me to correct something that needed to be addressed. And the third thing I would say is, as I've said earlier, reproofs always come at the right time. They're not ill-timed. You need to make a study of your mate, as if you haven't. Husbands and wives, you need to know how your mate is put together. My wife knows when I'm hungry, it's not a good time to bring reproof. When I'm hungry, I want one thing, food. After the food, I'm able to listen a lot better. Until then, I can be a little irritable and closed. Anyway, this sounds like Confessions of a Preacher Day, doesn't it? You just need to know I'm not telling you anything that I haven't experienced or needed. I'm the man I am today because of the reproofs of faithful friends, mentors, and a family. Now, when you get to Ephesians chapter 6, you see how it all fits together in the parent-child relationship. Doesn't Paul write with logic? Let me show you something if you've not noticed before. You got your pen handy? Here are categories he addresses. Chapter 5, verse 22. Circle the first word. Wives. And for the next number of verses, there's information for the wife. Look at verse 25. Got your pen? Circle husbands. Here's information for the husband. Go to verse 1 of chapter 6. First word. Children. Circle that. Verse 4. Fathers. Circle that. Verse 5. Slaves. Circle that. Verse 9, masters, circle that. In each one of those, there is a category you can study. No wonder wedding ceremonies are filled with Ephesians 5 and into chapter 6, because it's addressed to husbands and wives. Now, you get to chapter 6, you are dealing with children. Children, listen up. So that means that there were children who read Paul's letters. Some are older children. But if you're still living under the roof of your parents, you're in the category of a child. You're an older child, but you're there under their roof, which means under their authority. So he says, children, two things. Obey your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother. Do as they say and do it with respect. It's that simple. And the directives are there for anybody to read. Why obey? Why respect? Why honor? Look at the verses. Verse 1 of chapter 6, for this is right. It's what's right. And verse 2, because, or verse 3, because it will be well with you. Your life will be well lived. If you learn obedience, and if you respect your parents. Parents talk straight. Parents establish boundaries. Parents stand their ground. Parents speak the truth. Parents confront wrongdoing. Parents also affirm and encourage. Parents are there. They're like a steer in a blizzard. They're there day after day, week after week, year after year. You can count on it. And they're not changing the schedule, or they're not changing the standard, because times are changing. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's wrong in America, it's wrong in Sweden. If it's wrong in South America, it's wrong in Australia. By that I mean wrongdoing, wrong actions. It's not cultural. And so you do what is right, and that is you obey. You respect. You meet an obedient child in a home, you're meeting someone who is not seen that often in the neighborhood. You have an obedient child that is one who willingly and graciously understands and responds. You've got a treasure on your hand. It didn't just happen. You've worked with that child. So obey, and the second is to respect or to honor. Because this is right, and because it will result in a life well lived. It will be well with you. See verse 3? So that it may be well with you. It's better for you. A significant part of cultivating both of these disciplines is related to the parents' faithful, consistent, and appropriate reproofs. I know it takes a lot of wisdom. I understand. I've broken virtually every rule there is to break, so I understand how that can happen. But thankfully, I have kept some of the rules of good communication in the home. It includes talking straight, not talking down. It means standing your ground, not brutally ending issues with your fists. Standing your ground. It includes establishing boundaries, saying the truth, confronting what is wrong, a wrong attitude, as well as wrong actions, and then rewarding good behavior with affirmation. Question: do you obey your parents? Do you respect them? Are they still living? Do they know that you honor them? How valuable that is, and how good for you to be like that. Now, dads, verse 4, and we're through. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Every dad here knows what that means. We've all done it. Fathers can nag, become overbearing, can exasperate, preach, harass, and even mistreat. Dads are bad about that. Dads, don't provoke your children. It only makes them angry. And I've never really found a listening ear in an angry soul. So when you make them angry, they're not learning. So don't make them angry by exasperating them or provoking. Then what do I do? Look at the positive. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. See the words bring them up? Look down at verse 29. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. Same Greek word. So let's use it up there in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children to anger, but nourish them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. How great is that? So a few quick guidelines, and it'll help all of us. Number one, think and pray before you say anything. Think and pray before you say anything. No knee-jerk reaction, no outburst. Think and pray before you say anything. Before Clemmy wrote her letter, I am sure she gave serious thought, perhaps even prayer, to what she would say to Winston. Now, you might wonder, how'd things turn out? They must have had a miserable marriage. As a matter of fact, they didn't. Years passed, and Winston was asked late in life, if you were to die and come back as someone else, who would that other person be? He said, I would be Mrs. Churchill's second husband. I love that answer. They had a great relationship. Think and pray before you say anything. Number two, there's no need to share the reproof with anyone else. Okay? So don't run to your Bible study on Monday and tell them about the reproof you unloaded on your husband on Sunday. It's none of their business. Furthermore, it shows disrespect for your husband. The reproof is a part of a marriage that helps the bond get even stronger when it's done right. So don't be sharing that indiscriminately. Keep it confidential. Third, as the changes occur, affirm, affirm, affirm. I notice, by the way, you're a little more patient than you used to be. It's nice to see that. Hint, hint. Or you may hear your partner say, you know what? I appreciate the way you speak to the children now. Remember when I talked to you about always being angry? I notice you're not always angry now. And I want to commend you for that. I want to affirm you. As change occurs, be sure and affirm. The benefits? The one being reproved will know how much you love them. They'll ultimately say to you, thanks for caring. Thanks for pointing that out. That'll really help me. Secondly, your reproof will cause the person's respect for you to increase. And number three, the reproof will result in lasting benefits to the one who listens and learns and changes. You know the greatest reproof that was ever given? God gave it. It's a reproof regarding your living your life without his son, Jesus. He said to us, he who has the Son has the life. But let me reprove you with this. You who do not have the Son do not have the life. You either know Christ or you don't. And if you don't, let me confront this. You're lost. And there's no hope for you beyond the grave. So you got to deal with this. It's called salvation, trusting in Christ. Let's bow our heads. There's never been a time in your life when you have trusted in the Savior. This is the moment. You don't have to clean your life up. You don't have to give up this sin or that one. You don't have to get a victory over all the things that have defeated you. God will take care of that. There's no list that you've got to prove yourself faithful to. What you do need to know is the Son of God, because knowing him will give you life and life eternal. I invite you to trust him now, right now. And by the way, if you have a partner in life or a friend or a parent who has faithfully reproved you from time to time, wouldn't it be great for you to say to them sometime today, thank you for caring enough to tell me the truth. Our Father, we do thank you for your reproofs which come at just the right time, always for the right reason, and in ways that are never forgotten. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for knowing all of these things about us and loving us right on through them. Give us ears to hear you. Give us hearts that are sensitive. Give us a sense of openness that you might be speaking through the lips of another as you're getting our attention about something that needs to be addressed. And may the result be harmony returning to a home, the removal of threats and ugly, caustic comments, so that the ones who live under that roof know how much we value them. Finally, I pray that you will give those of us who have this unhappy and often difficult responsibility to have the courage to say what ought to be said. May we do so wisely and well. Guide us, great Jehovah. We're pilgrims in a barren land. We are weak, but you are mighty. Hold us with your powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Dismiss us now, our Father, with these words ringing in our ears as we walk with you this day and the days that follow. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.
As Chuck Swindoll admitted at the very beginning of this sermon, he's never heard a talk on the subject of reproofs, even though the word is repeatedly used in Scripture. Today's edition of Insight for Living completes 3 days on this important subject for families, accepting reproof from those who love us. This sermon is actually the 10th included in the 12-part classic series called Biblical Parenting. This collection would make a thoughtful gift for a son or daughter in the midst of raising a family. When you purchase the complete set, you'll also receive a bonus CD containing a personal conversation with Chuck, never before aired on the program. Let me encourage you to add this to your personal library while there's still time. Chuck's study on the family will conclude right after Easter. For the classic series called Biblical Parenting, go to insightworld.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. As you've heard me say on many occasions, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible because listeners like you give voluntary donations. Many have decided to automate their giving as a monthly companion. Well, today we are saying thanks for your first donation as a monthly companion or your special one-time gift by providing an exclusive collection of 3 CDs. The package is titled A Living Hope. Now, 2 of the CDs include messages on hope from Chuck. The 3rd CD contains a concert performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. In fact, the song you hear right now comes from this inspirational worship CD. To give a one-time donation and request the CD collection, A Living Hope, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org/monthly companion.
There is no better gift for children and grandchildren than memories, especially memories made together on an incredible adventure. And there's no adventure quite like America's last frontier, Alaska.
Chuck Swindoll, Bible teacher on Insight for Living.
So let me stop and invite you and your family, your whole family, to join Cynthia and me on our 2017 Insight for Living Ministries Alaska Cruise Conference.
Vacation with Chuck and Cynthia Swindoll, July 1st through the 8th, 2017. Call 888-447-0444.
When you cruise with Insight for Living, you and your entire family will be spiritually enriched. I guarantee it.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, July 1st through the 8th, 2017. To learn more, call 888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
Join us for a celebration of Easter through a message Chuck Swindoll titled, When God Untied the Death Ropes. That's Wednesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Accepting Reproof from Those Who Love Us, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.